You're listening to the Calvary Newsline. Welcome to the podcast, everyone. This is your host, Jared Peebles, and with me in the studio today is Calvary member Michael Pate. Mike, thank you for coming in.
Oh, thanks for inviting me.
Mike and his wife have been around Calvary for a long time. So Mike, introduce us to your family and tell us a little bit about your history here, what you've been a part of, that kind of stuff.
Well, Felicia and I moved here 31 years. Well, we've been married 31 years. We moved here, I guess, around 29 or 30 years ago and have been members of Calvary since then. We have one son, Christopher, who has just recently graduated from college and is involved in the collaborative here at Calvary. And then Elizabeth, our daughter, is graduating from Ash this year, and she's involved in the student minister here at Calvary. A lot of people wonder how in the world I ended up in Alexandria. But 30 years ago, I had a chance to go to work for another company and to move to Alexandria, and that's when we moved here. And after we joined Calvary, I will tell you, we had the mindset when we joined that we just wanted to come to church here, and we did not want to be involved because we were worn out. At our prior church, I was the music minister. We were the youth ministers. We would teach Sunday school. We were really involved in everything, and we were worn out. And we had, you know, just finished up college, started our careers. We thought maybe we could just blend in. But that didn't happen. We've been involved here in the student ministry, the children's ministry. We've taught Sunday school. Cliff Stewart wanted a praise and worship band for the singles ministry, and we started that. And I was fortunate enough that we moved here that shortly thereafter I was asked to come in and run one of the cameras for the Sunday morning worship service. And I did that. And then that grew to doing graphics and different things, learning more about the sound, all the sound audio stuff that we had in the media ministry. And then I eventually became a director and did that. And then I came back in to the media ministry several years ago and directed and ran a camera and still involved a little bit on that side of it also.
We are thankful for that. Always looking for good men and women to serve in that ministry.
Definitely.
So, Mike, recently, I'd say maybe in the last couple of years, I noticed there had been something going on in your personal life and your spiritual life. I think you had some testimony come through our men's ministry and some of those areas. Tell me a little bit about that part in your life and what that your testimony is up until now.
Well, in order to do that, I need to back up and say that I went from being really involved to, you know, one day to not being involved the next day. And just had an instance that that happened. And, you know, and my pride got in the way of it. And I told God, I said, look, until this person apologizes to me for this, I am not going to be a part of any service that, you know, in the church. I would recommend that nobody start trying to tell God what to do. Because that, when it comes down to it, that hurt me as a husband, that hurt me as a father, that took me away from being involved in service and the things that God had called me to do. And that comes back from my pride. So I was asked by a member of our church to attend the men's retreat, and my wife signed me up for it the day before. I did not want to go. I was doing my best to find any excuse to get out of it. And at that time, one of the ministers called me and said, oh, it's just a mistake, because I hadn't gotten any emails on it. He said, oh, it's just a mistake. This, you know, he said, it's bad on our part. I says, well, look, if somebody else wants to go, you know, you can fill that spot with me. I don't have to go. And he just repeated to me, oh, no, you're going. And so I showed up for the men's retreat. And I walked in, and look, I'm telling you, the Lord started dealing with me that first night. I knew as a Christian, as a Christian man, I knew that I was falling short, and it just became more evident and more evident through that weekend. And there was, you know, a couple of people there that I had to go and talk to. And honestly, I'd just been judgmental towards some people. And I just knew that for the rest of the weekend to go well, I needed to go and I needed to ask for their forgiveness. And I did that. And the weekend was, you know, more than I ever expected. And I remember coming back to the sanctuary on a Sunday morning. And I remember, you know, walking in, there's a part of me that wanted to be ashamed because of all the time that I'd wasted. And, you know, knowing that I had to get plugged back in. At that time, I was in the media ministry, but I was hiding behind the media ministry. It was an opportunity for me to go and nobody even would know I was here. And I'd remember I couldn't even sing any of the songs. You know, the praise and worship service, you know, for the first time in a long time, I was able to worship. So one of the things that I knew coming out of that weekend was I had to get plugged into a small group. And at that time, there was a small group that was started just for a few guys that I were that were at the men's retreat at the table I was at. And it just kind of grew from there. I, you know, God opened up the opportunity for me to lead one of the Band of Brothers groups. And I did that. That's been a remarkable experience, to come and be able to sit down with, you know, other guys and, you know, to talk about life and to realize that, you know, everybody's got a problem. The guy sitting beside me may have a problem that's totally different from me, but I still have my problems. He has his problems and everybody else around that table's messed up somewhere. They're messed up in their life and they're dealing with something. And having all age groups there, you know, from 21 all the way up to, I think close to 80, you know, to have that group of people that surrounds that table and we can talk and about life and discuss, you know, biblically how we should do things as Christian men, has been, it's just absolutely unbelievable. Being involved with the Quest, being one in the leader group there, that has been, you know, awesome to do that. I've taught life groups and I've led up some other devotionals around the church. And God has just given me opportunities that I never would have had if it had not been for the struggle and the whole issue of me having too much pride for him to put me on the path that I'm on now.
And go back, reemphasize what you said about a small group. Like Jeff Drawn, a guy who started our men's ministry or was very instrumental in starting our men's ministry here, he always says, you're either in something, you're going through something, or you just came out of something. And that's where those groups really come in, right?
Oh, it does. And the fact that you build the relationship with, you know, that group of guys, and we always say, what we talk about at our table stays at our table. And you know, sometimes there's just guys have to just open up and they personally just say, hey, I'm dealing with this. And it can be, you know, something they're dealing with at work. It can be an illness they're dealing with. And to have those guys and know that you can, you know, you can sit there and with those guys and you can share with them. And, you know, and I recently, it was just the neatest thing to see one person say that they were going through, you know, some problem. And the person beside them says, I'm going through that too. And wow. To see that and how that we can rely on each other, that through a text message, we can, you know, reach out and say, I need you praying for me, or I need this, or maybe you just call one of the guys in the group. That's what those small groups are about. It's about building those relationships. It's about learning how to deal with stuff and not trying to deal with it just by yourself. It's using, number one, that group, and number two, and I've got that as in reverse order, but God, you know, learn to let God help you. Right. And those guys in that group stand with you and lock arms.
Yeah. Yeah, it's real good stuff. So take a quick second just to remind you, if you're a guy out there or a girl, we have women's groups and men's groups. If you're looking for something like that, if you're not a part of it already, we've got a place for you. Well, I invited you here because I think you've got a great testimony. But I noticed something a while back on Monday mornings on Facebook. I noticed a little video you had been doing. And after a few weeks of that, I think I might have talked to you and was just intrigued into why you started doing that. So talk to me a little bit about that particular video thing, some of the other things you're doing during the week. I just feel like you have a calling to doing more outside the walls of the church. It's very important what we do inside the church, but that you felt a different calling. Tell us how you got started with that.
At some point in time, I had really gotten disgusted with social media. I was disgusted with the fact that I felt like that, you know, well, I don't feel like, I know that what we look at all the time is just not real.
Yeah.
You know, you never see anybody put on there. You know, my kid got a speeding ticket and was driving, you know, coming home and almost hit, you know, somebody in the crosswalk at the school. You don't see that. It's all about the good things. And look, and I understand, I love to see the good things too. But when we start comparing ourselves, you can't live up to the perfect world that's out there. And I just really, I got, you know, and it was so much stuff going on with politics, and people would express their opinion, another person would attack them, not just even with politics. You know, if you put, you know, something in a recipe that somebody didn't like, then they would speak up, and, you know, and I'm thinking, you know, what's the purpose of it? So I just basically took a pretty good break from Facebook for about a year. And I told my men's group in October of 2018, I think it was, I said, I really feel like God may be leading me to do a video devotional on Facebook. And I said, yeah, okay. And, you know, I said, I'm still praying about it, but I want to make sure it's the right thing. I want to make sure it's for God's glory and not for, you know, my glory. And so we went on, and December, I taught a lesson about, you know, following God's will for your life. And somehow it came up that I talked about doing, you know, the possibly doing the video devotional. And I said, well, I'm still wanting to do that. And I kind of threw out some excuses. And one of the guys in my group, and this comes down to where these small groups are great, he looked at me and says, you just taught us a lesson on following God's will, and you're the biggest hypocrite here at the table. Now, he didn't say it quite like that, but that's what it came down to. So, that lit a fire under me and started, you know, doing it. And I guess it was in 2021, and January, the first Monday in January, I started doing Monday Mornings with Michael. Short devotional. Most of the time, it's about something that I'm dealing with, or somebody's talked to me about something they're dealing with. And thought, well, I'll give it a shot and, you know, just see what happens on it. And, you know, then somebody says, well, you need to get your own page for that. So we figured out how to do that. I should say my wife figured out how to do that, and started out, you know, I think 25 people were following it. And, you know, we're over 400 people that follow that page. And, you know, I'm not in the eyes of the, you know, the YouTube world and all the other sites that are out there, I'm not an influencer by what their standards are, but I hope that I'm an influencer by God's standards for what he wants us to do in as Christians and, you know, in the church and outside the church.
So, I know that everyone is not going to start a podcast. Everyone's not going to do their own video devotionals. But everyone's called to do their part, whatever that means. I think you would agree.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and I always tell the story. My grandmother was about 4'11", and little lady in stature, was, you know, involved in the church, had the faith that just, you know, most people couldn't believe somebody could have that much faith like she did. Her ministry was carrying people, families in the community. She would carry them a coconut cake, and she made the absolute best coconut cake. But she would do that, and she would go visit with them. And she, you know, I can tell you right now, she would have the coconut cake in one hand, and she'd have her Bible in the other one. And she would just stop by and visit. And it goes to show you, it can be something simple. You don't have to do a podcast. You don't have to, you know, do a web conference call devotional. There's so many things out there that, you know, we forget sometimes, that our ministry can be just saying thank you to the person in the drive-thru. You know, putting, and I know Dr. Brooks will love this, but putting your buggy back in the buggy holders in the parking lot, but so that, you know, the guys that pick those up and the girls that pick those buggies up, and they see you do that, they appreciate that. And if you ask them, hey, how's your day going? You know, speak to people. That's your ministry. You know, is the way you present yourself every day something that people, you'd want people to catch? Find what God wants you to do, and you do it.
Yeah, and earlier you said one piece of advice you would give is don't argue with God or tell him no when he's telling you to do something. Is there anything else like that that you would just encourage that person that's out there that's like, you know I need to be doing something else, but I don't know what that is. Do you have any encouragement towards that person on what to do? Obviously, don't tell God no if he's telling you
right.
to do something. But if they don't know what yet, what can you offer in the way of advice to them?
Well, the first thing I'm going to say is we just have gotten through or almost gotten through a sermon series called The In Crowd. I want to tell you what, if you go back and you listen to that and you're questioning about how do I get involved and what do I need to do, I think that's where you start right there. Great sermon series. And, you know, I think that that's a great place to start. The second thing is you need to pray about it. You need to pray about, you know, what you think God's leading you to do. I question every time that I think God is leading me to do something. I question what's my motive in it? Do I have a motive? Is it a motive because I want to be seen, or is it a motive because I think it'll make me look better in other people's eyes? I question that. And there have been times I've looked at stuff and said, you know, God's not calling me to do that. I'm trying to call myself to do that. I'm basically trying to grab, you know, God by the hand and drag him down the trail that I want to go. That's not how that should work. But pray about it. See, you question yourself what your motive is. And then once you come up with something you think that is an idea about something that God is leading you to do in service for him, is go and talk to some people that know you that can be wise counsel. They're going, if they know you and it's somebody that's wise and you talk to them about it, they're going to question. They're going to play devil's advocate, for lack of a better word, sometimes about what you've got going on and what you think you want to do. But that's important. It's just like the men's group, you know, in your small group, when somebody tells you, you know, you're being a hypocrite, you know, those are the guys I kind of shared and I relied and had brought it to wise counsel. And the next thing is you've got to trust God. Ephesians 2:10 says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." And look, I'm telling you, God's going to have you doing something that you may not feel comfortable doing. You know, that's sometimes we want to get really comfortable and we want to do things only that we're comfortable with. But I'm telling you, when you get outside of that comfort zone and you learn to rely on God and trust God and realize that he's not going to ask you to do something that he hasn't equipped you for. And I think that's the biggest deal. People offer up excuses. Well, I can't do this. You know, I can't do this because I don't have the knowledge to do that. Look, I promise you, you may just have the ability to go out and say, my ministry is going to be for the next year. I'm going to show up at work and I'm going to act like I love it here on days that I don't love it here. And I'm going to set an example of what somebody in the workplace should be Christ-like. That may be what God calls you to do, but he'll prepare you for whatever comes up. And the last thing is, I can tell you, when you are doing something, you're following God's will, get ready to fight. Because Satan, when you're doing something, or you get ready to start something that God has, you know, basically led you down the path to do, Satan hates that. And he's going to try to throw every wall he can build, slam every door in your face he can to keep you from doing that. And so be ready to fight. Don't give up. If God has called you to do that, you stand there toe to toe with Satan and you just say, not today. And you keep going forward. And even when you're disappointed in how things may go, I promise you, God's working behind the scenes with you to work things out to make it something greater than you ever imagined. we need to go out and we need to spread the gospel. We don't need to overcomplicate it. We need to go out and we need to make sure that people are seeing our lives represent what it is to be a Christian. They make those folks say, hey, I want what you've got. Invite those people to church. David Brooks done a sermon back, I think, 6 months ago, talked about how that when he was at the doctor's office, he would just say, hey, when you go to church, where do you go to church? And if they go to church, they tell you where they go to church. If they don't, it gives you an opportunity to invite them here. Build relationships with people. When people, you know, there's testimonies all over the place in this church about building relationships with people and how those relationships that you build outside the church walls end up coming into the church walls. And you don't have to, you can't go out and save somebody. You know, that's not your deal. Your deal is to get them here and then let God.
Right.
And so this week I saw a news story about where a gentleman had died in a fire, and the news media was interviewing his son. And his son was talking about what a great guy his dad was and everything. And they asked him, the last question they asked him was, you know, what did he think he would remember about his dad the most? And he quoted Billy Graham, and he said, my dad's last breath here on earth was his first breath in heaven with Jesus. And that's what we want to do. We don't want anybody taking that next breath in hell. We want that person taking that next breath in heaven.
Powerful. Absolutely. Mike, thank you so much for coming and opening yourself up with me and our listeners today and just sharing what God's doing in your life. You've inspired me to keep going, to keep persevering. And if you're listening out there and you have questions about your next step, or you feel God calling you to something inside the church walls or outside the church walls, don't ignore that. The Holy Spirit could be prompting you to the next phase of your spiritual journey. You can reach out to me or any minister here at Calvary. You can email me at jpeoples@calvarynet.net, or you can find all of our staff emails in the About section on our website, calvarynet.net. Any of us would love to talk with you, and I would like to hear your story. Maybe it could help someone else, just like Mike. I think you're going to help a lot of folks here today with what you said. Thank you.
Thank you.
We will return soon with new content. Enjoy the weekly sermons and visit us online at calvarynet.net, Facebook and Instagram at Calvary Alexandria, and on Sundays in person at 5011 Jackson Street in Alexandria, Louisiana, at 9 a.m. and 10:30 a.m. for worship and Bible study. This has been a special presentation of the Calvary Newsline podcast.